Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I will be posting the In Faith newsletter I received from Terry up on the board. Talks of what's going on with him and his family and also his India trips. And if anyone wishes to help support him in his India trips, there are forms in the back that have donation portions on there for that. The word of prophecy is our light when things get dark. I didn't quote that. That's 2 Peter, verse 19. But it's true. And it's important that we study the prophecies that Daniel wrote about. But it's also important to understand the life that Daniel lived. Knowing God's future, his future plan, and obeying God's present will go together. So we're going to be going to Daniel chapter 13 today. Open your Bibles. Lord, Heavenly Father, as we research your word once more and we find all this golden information in there that you left for us, we pray for wisdom and understanding that we can apply it to our lives in raising up our families, our children, our grandchildren, and providing for them in an ungodly world, but in a godly manner. And come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I did say that, and there is no chapter 13. So I made that up as we're going to review the whole book of Daniel today. We're going to review Daniel. I know everybody isn't here every week, and sometimes they miss a chapter and all, so it's kind of a review before we get into another area of the Word. And I want to look at, you know, both Daniel and Joseph were called of God to serve him. But to serve them in difficult places of authority. And we're all in that spot sometime or another. We're in a difficult spot where maybe I don't like my boss. Well, as Rich said a little bit, you're not working for him. You're working for God. And God put that boss there, and he's got a reason why he was there over you for this particular time. Both Daniel and Joseph, think about their life. Here they are, young teenagers, right? And they were both cruelly taken from their homes. And they were handed over to a foreign agency, foreign masters that cared nothing about them or their Christian belief, I'll use that word. They both went through periods of testing. We know Joseph did. We know Daniel did. We've been through the book already. They both were lied about. They both were falsely accused. But they both maintained a godly character and a godly conduct. And they became respected leaders in the nation they were thrust into. Most of all, they were able to minister to God's people and help and preserve and encourage them through days that were difficult, not only for Daniel, but for the people. It's kind of interesting that the book of Daniel and Paul's letter to the Ephesians are very much in common. A lot of similarities there. Ephesians teaches us about the spiritual battles of the heavenlies. Daniel went through a spiritual battle. Paul in Ephesians prays two prayers. The first one is for enlightenment, and it goes like this. Therefore, I also, this is Ephesians 1:15, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul is praying for these Ephesians that the Lord will give them wisdom and a revelation of him, and that their eyes, verse 18, of their understanding be enlightened. The second prayer he prays is in chapter 3, 14. He says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, this is the prayer now, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Daniel and his friends, his three friends, they also prayed that they might understand. They wanted to understand God's plan, and they wanted to receive the power they needed to serve, get this, the power that they needed to serve God and be true to the end in the pagan land that they were thrust into. That's pretty cool, isn't it? They didn't care about that land. They didn't care about mending and becoming part of that land. They prayed that they would not become part of that land and that they would stay true to God in all aspects of their life. That's what we should pray every day. Now, Paul's epistle to the Ephesians emphasizes our spiritual posture. When I was a kid, I was out, sit up straight, posture, stand up, right? Don't hunch your shoulder, though. Come on. Well, our spiritual posture, what is that? We are seated with Christ. We walk with Christ. We take our stand in Christ. Not in this world. We stand with Jesus Christ. And we bow our knees to him. He is our Lord and Master. Yes, we have to obey our boss, if it's right to do so. We have to obey our government, if it coincides with the Word of God. And Daniel was a man who bowed his knees to the Lord. He walked with him. He was able to stand against Satan. But he was a pilgrim and he was a stranger in Babylon, because his home was in Israel. Now, every one of us that raises our hands, we are pilgrims and strangers in this world, because we are citizenship of heaven. That's where we belong. And we know we're going there if you've accepted Christ and he's your Lord and Savior. And like Daniel and like Joseph, we live in an alien culture today with people whose thinking, whose values, whose actions, whose goals are totally different and opposed to that of Christians. How do you cope with that? Day to day, how do you live with that? Just as Daniel and Joseph kept themselves pure, we have to keep ourselves pure. We don't want to conform to the world. Paul says, be of the world, but don't conform to the world. Don't be part of it. We can do that. And Daniel's key to success, his life and ministry, it's given to us in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Very powerful scripture there. It says, but, in other words, there was a whole bunch of stuff said before that. But Daniel, in his heart, purposed he would not defile himself. What does purpose mean? It means he stood firm. He drew the line in that sand. He says, I will not defile myself. I don't care if all of Babylon comes after me, I will not defile myself. And how many times in one day do we defile ourselves? In our thoughts, in what we look at, in our anger, the way we react to somebody, in our resentment, in maybe gossiping. Oh, did you hear something? Or are we unhappy with the life that God has put upon us? Now that's one Daniel could have argued with God on. And Joseph too. But they didn't, did they? No scripture says they argued with God. Why did you do this to me, Lord? In fact, Joseph says to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So everything God does to us, he means it for good, even though we don't think so. Daniel was not intimidated by those powerful people above him. He wasn't frightened by them. He wasn't frightened by the difficult circumstances that he was thrown in front of. So we have to look at what is the source of this man's courageous and resolute heart. Where did it come from? I want that. To get somewhat of an answer, we look at Daniel's life. That's where we're going today. When I looked at the whole chapter, 1 through 12, and concocted chapter 13, I saw 9 qualities in Daniel that just raised him above the crowd. And we're going to look at them one by one. Try to get through them today. 1, for you note takers, he believed in a sovereign God. The basic truth, at least one of them, in Daniel's book is the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Daniel knew it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar that ruled. He knew it wasn't Belshazzar that ruled. He knew it wasn't Darius that ruled. It was the Most High God that ruled. These dictators and these politicians, they thought they were in control. Our politicians think they're in control. Our government thinks they're in control. They're not. The Lord Jehovah rules all things with wisdom and power. Daniel knew this. He understood it. Now, the Babylonians, yes, they changed Daniel's address. They changed his name. They changed his education. They tried to change his standard, but they couldn't. He would not budge on that. I will learn your language, I will study your laws and rules and stuff so I can guide and instruct you and give you good wisdom. I will not budge on my theology. We should be no different. Let them change our name. I don't care. Call me anything. Let them change where I live. Let them tell me who I can see and who I can't see. See, all that doesn't matter because that's all worldly. That's all socialism. What matters to me and what should matter to me is my relationship with God. And they cannot change that. I will not budge. I will depend totally on the God of heaven who is sovereign over all things. But they think sovereignty is slavery. But it isn't. Actually, when we surrender, now I'm talking about total surrender to God's sovereign will, is the first step toward freedom. We can yield ourselves to him with confidence because he's our father. And what father would do harm to their child? I would never harm my child. I want the best for them. I know my sons and my daughters, they want the best for their children. And I know all of you want the best for your children. Why would God be any different? He loves us too much to harm us. And the good thing about God, which is better than me, is he's too wise to make a mistake. I made mistakes. He doesn't. So our faith in a personal God, a loving God, who plans the very best for us. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Psalm 23, 1. I did a whole sermon on Psalm 23 one time. I did a whole funeral on Psalm 23 one time. It is a powerful psalm, and there is so much in there that I'm going to save it for another sermon. But it is. We shall not want anything because he's our shepherd. He wants the best for us. Number two in Daniel's life is he had a disciplined prayer life. Jewish people pray three times a day. They're accustomed to praying at 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, and at 3 in the afternoon. This was their ritual. And we know Daniel did that. It says he prayed three times a day in his room. His windows open. He didn't hide it. He brought that with him to Babylon. And that is one of the lines in the sand that he drew, and he says, I will not falter in this. Setting aside special prayer times. It's a good thing. It's a good habit to get into. We're more likely to be able to pray without ceasing if we just set a time here and there, and then pretty soon that time overlaps into another time and overlaps into the next time, and pretty soon you're praying all day long. And that's a good thing. That's not bad. You can still do other stuff. Only if you're doing some heavy technical thinking, maybe you got to slow down a little bit on your prayer and concentrate on what you're doing, like running table saws and stuff. Don't want to lose a finger or fighting fire. But having special times of prayer helps to sanctify all the other times of the day, and it keeps us in touch with the Lord. And when Daniel and his friends needed to know Nebuchadnezzar's dream, what did they do? They prayed. And when the Lord answered them, what did they do? They prayed. They thanked him. And when Daniel's life was in danger, what did Daniel do? He went home in his room and he prayed. And the Lord kept him safe from the lions. Daniel depended on prayer. What do you depend on? In the church today, I don't mean this church. I don't think I see it in this church, but I know it's in the church, big umbrella here. There's a lot of people that turn to prayer only when everything else failed. Last resort. They take Psalm 46:1 and they translate it this way. God is our last refuge when our own strength is gone and we don't have anywhere else to turn. That's a tragedy. That's not what Psalm 46:1 says. It says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Because Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. He's with you always during your trials and your troubles and your trials and sicknesses and all that. He's there. You can pray to him. There was a king, Asa, that in 2 Chronicles, when he died of a disease in his feet that got so bad it killed him. What does that scripture say? It says in 2 Chronicles 16:12, it says he died because, well, it doesn't say because. It says he did not seek the Lord first. He sought physicians. And the next line says he died and was buried with his fathers. I'm not promoting not ever calling a doctor. There's times the Lord has made doctors, and I'm grateful for that. If you seek the Lord's guidance first, you may hear him say, go see Dr. So-and-so, because he's good in that field. And through that doctor, the Lord will help and heal you. Number three, he studied the Word of God, and he believed it. He believed it. When Daniel and his friends left Jerusalem to go to Babylon, they must have grabbed up some scrolls of God's Word, because it says he read Jeremiah while he was in Jerusalem. He studied the writings. Daniel 9:2, it says, the first year of his reign, Darius's reign, I, Daniel, understood the books, the number of the years specified by the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet. So he was reading Jeremiah the prophet. And the Lord gave him enlightenment, says, this is it. 70 years. Prayer and God's word go together like peanut butter and jelly. As we read the God of Word, the Word of God, and as we study it, we pray, just like Paul prayed for the Ephesians. We pray for wisdom and understanding. And we pray for the power to obey it. Number four, he understood spiritual warfare. Daniel chapter 10 is the key chapter for prayer warriors. People who wrestle in prayer. I don't mean, yes, Lord, thank you for this food this morning. Wrestle in prayer. There's something that's really inside that you have to solve through prayer, and you won't let go like Jacob until the Lord gives you that answer. If you have to pray all night wrestling, then you're going to have to sleep the next day. When in the morning, by faith, we put on the armor of God, all of it, not just part of it, but all of it, and we depend on God's power, he will give us the ability to stand. And he will give us the ability to withstand. Do not think you're just a brave target out there for the darts of the devil to kill you. That's not what that means. We are energized soldiers, is what we are. When we put on the armor of God and we trust in the power of God, we are energized soldiers that will hold the ground that God has given us. And then we move forward and we gain more ground, new ground. Speaking of standing ground, whose name comes to mind? Mayan, it came to Shema. How many actually remember Shema? Yes, I see one hand. What? Yes, two hands. Very good. He was one of King David's top three mighty men. And it talks about him in 2 Samuel 23. It says, Shema was the son of Agi, the Hararite. And it says the Philistines gathered a troop together where there was a piece of ground full of lentils or beans or however you interpret it. And then the people, the Israelites, all fled from the Philistines, it says. But he, Shema, he stationed himself in the middle of the field, and he defended it. He stood his ground on the power of the Lord, and he killed the Philistines. All of them. One man, single-handedly. And it says the Lord brought about a great victory. That's what it means for us. When we take a stand for Christ and we hold true to it, he will give us the victory. Spiritual warfare is very real today. There's many that don't believe in spiritual warfare. There's many that ridicule it. You're paranoid. No. Don't let that stop us from imitating David or Paul, who invaded Satan's territory. And they stood their ground, even when they were threatened. Number five, he sought only to glorify God. What did Daniel tell this powerful monarch, Nebuchadnezzar? He says, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, not me. He gave all the glory to God. Daniel never took credit for anything that he did or anything that he said or interpreted. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted to reward Daniel. What did he do? Daniel says, well, wait a minute. There were three more men praying with me. Reward them. And so all four were elevated up to high positions. And when Belshazzar tried to smother Daniel with flattery and gifts, he brushed it all aside. And he still courageously interpreted the bad news to him. Throughout his whole life, Daniel was a great man in the kingdom. But he always used his gifts, his abilities, and his opportunities to honor God and to minister to others. True humility is not thinking lowly of yourself. It's just not thinking of yourself. You hear somebody, oh, you have need? I have? Here. That's it. Jesus came as a servant. His example is the one that we should follow. Number six. He realized that he had work to do. He didn't just sit in his house, look out the window. He had work to do. Just like Joseph in Egypt, Daniel didn't complain about the lot that was dealt to him. With God's help, he tried to make the best use of where he was. Maybe some of us aren't where we thought we should be by now. I never finished college. Maybe I still owe money on my house and by now it should be paid off. Maybe I don't even have a house right now. None of that matters. We're right where God wants us to be, each one of us. Isn't that amazing? We are to make the best use of where he put us, just like Daniel did. Daniel knew that his sovereign God, that he trusted, had a special plan for his life. Even though it was in captivity, and he sought to fulfill it. Joseph was never a free man after his brothers threw him in that pit. He stayed in Egypt his whole life. He married an Egyptian woman, and he was never free. But he was second highest ruler in the land. And he also never faltered from his God. How can I sin against my God, he says to that woman that tried to seduce him. When we question God, that's what we're doing, because of where we are in life, you know what we're saying? We're saying God doesn't know what he's doing. I can't do better. What we're really doing is we're playing God here. And that's not right. Trust in the Lord because Father knows best. Still looking at Daniel here. Did you notice, reading through the book, he never campaigned for promotions in everything that he did? Cared very least about that. Wasn't even on his mind. And yet the Lord brought them to him. What's that verse? Seek ye first the kingdom, and all, we sang that this morning, shall be given unto you. He did his work well as a faithful and dependable servant, so much that even his enemies couldn't find one fault in Daniel. So no matter what position we hold, I don't care what it is, you could be a high government official. You could be a person pumping gasoline. You could be homeless. God puts us where he pleases. And in the places that he puts us, we're to serve God. Right there. And we need, the body of Christ needs dedicated believers in all walks of life. We need them in the police department. We need them in the government. Men and women who can be examples of godliness in a pagan world. Ephesians 6:5 says, bondservants, and it uses that word correctly because are we not all bondservants of Christ? Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. So whatever we do, we're supposed to do it if we're doing it for the Lord. If you're pumping gas, you're pumping it for the Lord. If you're building houses and banging out nails and framing, you're doing it for the Lord. Number 7, Daniel was tactful and he was considerate. Now, I know there are quite a few folks that they think is the only way to change things in this political world is to exercise violence, blow up buildings or whatever. Did you know Daniel exerted a whole lot of influence in his reign when he had 4 different kings over him? And yet he never resorted to force. He never had accusations. He never made threats. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle. 2 Timothy. When Daniel and his friends, now here they are, brand new to Babylon, and they only wanted to eat clean food, there was no demonstration. All they did was ask, test me for 10 days. And if we are not just as good and healthy as those that are eating the king's meat, we'll eat the king's meat. But yet they knew that the Lord would make this test successful because of their faith and trust in God. And as a result, they won the respect and the confidence of the prince that was in charge over them. Now, Daniel didn't agree with the theology or the lifestyle of those superiors in Babylon. And even if he could not respect the offices over him, he did respect the office. He spoke respectfully to them. He spoke respectfully about them. It's too often believers have a holier-than-thou attitude, and they fail to show proper respect for officials or magistrates, whatever word you want to use, that they disagree with. And that does nothing but hurt the case for Christ. You will get nowhere. That is not the way to profess your Christian life. 8. He had insight into human history. At the center of history is the nation of Israel. And why is that? Because Israel is God's chosen vehicle to bring salvation to the world. In John, it says, "You worship what you do not know." This is Jesus speaking. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And it's because of that that we are saved. Right in the center of Israel's history is the covenant God gave with Abram, as well as the covenant God gave the Jews at Mount Sinai. If Israel obeyed, God would bless them. And then Israel would be a blessing to the Gentiles. If Israel disobeyed, then God would discipline, and he's going to use the Gentiles to do it. But the visions also taught Daniel that the nations of the world were beastly in character. And we see that in the form of lions, bears, no tigers, leopards, rams, goats. We see it in all these beasts in that vision, that these are the nations of the world. Nebuchadnezzar himself, it was his pride that changed him into an animal, was it not? 7 years. It's pride that turns us into worse than animals as we devour one another. And you see that in the workplace. It happens actually in churches. People fighting for power in mega churches because there's millions and millions of dollars at stake. In one sense, our world's improving, and I'm grateful for the advance in medicine. Yes. Communication, transportation, comfort, although it's a little hot in here today. But those are good things. But in another sense, the nations are actually getting cheaper and cheaper as you look at it. Look at the image that God revealed of the statue, and you see it going from gold, very valuable, down to silver, down to bronze, down to iron, and finally down to clay. Practically worthless. You can pick it up almost anywhere in the ground. And there was no illusions about the future in Daniel. He knew what God planned to do. And so he could say, just like Paul said when Paul was on that ship and the ship was going down, or it looked like it was going down, and Paul said, "Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." And Daniel believed it would be just as it was told Daniel. These nations would come down one after the other. One take over, one take over, one take over. This beast would rise up. The last one is, he lived up to his name. A name was very important in those days. It's not quite thought about today as to what your name means, other than your last name. I remember my father telling me as a teenager, son, remember, don't defile the name of Gavlik. Daniel's name means God is my judge. And he lived his life before the all-seeing eyes of the Lord. And that's what's hard for people sometimes to understand, is that God sees everything we do. We think we're doing it behind closed doors, but it's not closed to the Lord. And he did the things that pleased God. And he didn't worry about what the king thought of him, or what the king thought about his interpretations. He could have beheaded him. Well, I don't like that. Sorry. He simply delivered the message God gave him, and he left the results up to God. Do what you want, Lord. What difference did it make that the counselors all despised him and that they tried to get him killed? Didn't matter to him. His life and his reputation were in the hands of God. And the will of God is always best. Daniel thought more of his principles than he did of earthly honor or the esteem of men. Right was right. He was going to do right today and just let tomorrow take care of itself. That firmness of purpose, he purposed in his heart not to be defiled, is the strength of God. And that was the secret of his success. D.L. Moody had a musician that composed a song about Daniel. And I couldn't find the words to the song, but there was a chorus that said, "Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known." We're all called to be a Daniel, no matter the consequences.